Good morning. My name is Doug Bortner. I come from the Metropolitan District of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and it is my privilege this morning to be able to present to you, at the end of the service, Reverend Jimmy Donnarumma. It is a great privilege for me. I've known Jimmy probably over a decade. It has been an encouragement to be able to watch him grow and to be able to mature, not just as a friend, but to see him as a husband and as a father and as a minister. And it's a great privilege for me to be here this morning and be able to preach this ordination service. One of the dreams of any pastor is being able to preach to one person in particular. And so I get to do that today. I get to preach to Jimmy. And for the next 20 minutes, he doesn't have a chance to be able to respond to me. So I think I can get all of this in at least 20 minutes. But if I can't, hold on. I'm sure all of you will enjoy what I have to be able to say to Jimmy this morning. Jimmy, I have some good news and some bad news. Some good news is I found online a very easy way to become ordained. The bad news is I found this probably about 5 or 6 years too late for you. So as I was going through online, I found this online. It's the Everyday Universal Life Church, and this is what's on the front page of the website. Everyday Universal Life Church ministers perform thousands of legal weddings, baptism, funerals, and even operate their own churches. If you're wondering how to become an ordained minister, you've come to the right place. Utilizing the ULC's instant online ordination platform, anyone who feels so called can become a minister within seconds. Perform weddings 100% legal. Ordination is fast, free, and easy. No experience necessary. All are welcomed. Over 20 million people around the world have already chosen to get ordained online with the Universal Life Church. Over the last few decades, it has become one of Earth's largest and most active religious organizations. The monastery has only two tenets. One, do only that which is right. And number two, all should be free to worship as they see fit. Get ordained online today and join the Universal Life Church's global family. Instantly become ordained like these ministers. And here's a few testimonies. My old church wasn't fulfilling me. I got ordained to kind of direct my own spiritual journey. The extra cash from officiating weddings was a nice bonus. Angela Walsh from Georgia. I got ordained online to start a ministry up here in Maine. $40 later, that's all it costs, $40 later, and my life was changed. I recommend this to anyone who is feeling lost. Sam Triolo from Kennebunkport, Maine. I didn't take being a minister very seriously at first. Now I'm so glad I joined. The ULC community has been a blessing to my life. Michael from Minnesota. I was ordained by the ULC in 2014 to perform my sister's wedding. It was the best experience, and since then I've officiated a dozen or more weddings. Candace from Florida. Some notable ordained ministers from ULC is Conan O'Brien, Kathy Griffith, Joan Rivers, Johnny Carson, and Richard Bronson. So, you know, again, a few years too late for you to be able to kind of get the easy track in. As I read that preparing for the service, honest to God, that is a real website. If you Google online or ordination, get ordained, it is one of the paid ads on top of the Google page. And as I was looking through that, I said, you know what, this is only fitting. To be able to have an ordination that is so cheap and that is so easy, it only adds to the clutter of the noise that is out there. It amazes me today in the 24-hour news cycles that we live in a post-Facebook, post-Twitter world where everyone is an expert on anything, that just to be able to have authority means that you can post anything that you want to say with authority in 140 characters or less. A $25 or $40 ordination just adds to that clutter, to the noise. You see, when everyone is an expert, no one is an expert. In this world where everyone seems to know what is going on and have opinion to be able to go, you know what we desperately need? We desperately need someone who can stand up with authority and to rise above the shallow debate and be able to say, this is the way to go, this is the way to live, and this is the way for us to be able to accomplish what I feel God is laying on our hearts. We need someone of depth whose authority is backed up by the life that they live. This world, this community, and this church needs someone who can speak on behalf of God, who's prepared well, that has gone beyond a $40 instant online application to be able to speak on behalf of God. Today, as a representative of the Alliance, I stand before you as a church and present to you Jimmy Donnarumma, a man who has been prepared and ready to be able to stand before you as an ordained minister of the gospel and to be able to speak on behalf of God. The CMA and Crossbridge Church recognizes God's call in your life, Jimmy. And today we have the great privilege of setting you apart as an ordained minister, as someone who can speak on behalf of God. But before we do that, I want to be able to share just a couple words of encouragement and challenge to you that is found in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, the first few verses I won't read, but kind of give Jeremiah's background and the era of which he speaks. And here's the words that I want to give to you. And the title above this section is The Call of Jeremiah, the Prophet. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, and said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. God, I believe that just as God has given a call to Jeremiah, the prophet, he has given a call similar to you. I love the way that this starts. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in my womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You see, Jimmy, even before the sun was created and the moon to mark the days and the nights, God already knew you. He had already set you apart as a pastor, as a prophet, to be able to bring the word of God boldly, with authority, to his people. I praise God that early in your life that you've recognized that call, that you've discerned what he has set you apart for, and you set your mind and to be able to go and to be able to cultivate that calling. To go to Bible college, to be able to go through a licensing process, to be called as a pastor, to minister effectively in two areas, to submit to this process that has been laid out before you. I want you as the church to understand the process that Jimmy has gone through to be able to prepare for an ordination like this. He did 4 years at a Bible college. Then was licensed as a minister. And then during that process, over a several-year process, was involved in mentoring and coaching and developing to develop a character and ministerial skills. He read about a dozen books that are ascribed to the ordination process. He wrote 6 theological position papers talking everywhere from Jesus Christ as our Savior to the end times to what is the theology of the church to global missions, topics of sanctification and healing. When all of that was completed, he sat for 8 hours in our office in Newark, which, by the way, if none of you have been there, it is not a beautiful place. Inside it's not bad, but it is a gated community. And he sat there for 8 hours answering 50 open-ended theological questions. At the conclusion of that, he was assigned a sponsor, a pastor from this area who drilled him for several months on theological questions, preparing him for the oral examination. At the end of that grueling day of, 8 to 9 pastors in a boardroom for 3 hours asking any question, the only notes he was allowed to have was an open-ended Bible with no marks in it. And at the end of that, called him back in the room and said, "Jimmy, we affirm the call that God has placed on your life. And we recommend that you become an ordained minister." You see, Jimmy, one of the dangers of being an ordained minister is that you start to think that this is something that you did. You did a lot of work to get to this moment. But these words in Jeremiah remind us that this call is something that God has birthed before time began. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that your worth as a person and your worth as a pastor has nothing to what you've done to prepare for this or what you will do in the future. You see, it's very easy when things go well for us to think that we built this and we created this because we work really hard towards it. The reverse is also true. When things don't go well, when things fall apart, when things don't happen the way that you've planned, and that will happen, it's very easy for us to question what God is doing and to even question our self-worth as a person, as a pastor. So many times that I've met with pastors who say, "I am a failure," and they own that as their identity. And Jimmy, I want to stand before you today and just have you always remember that your identity was birthed in the creation of this world. That you are son of the God, and he has the one that has set you apart for ministry. This is not something that you've built. It is something that you've discovered and discerned. And I do want to say that I'm very proud of you this morning that you have stewarded God's gift to you very well. I find it interesting that as Jeremiah hears this word from God, the first words out of his mouth go on to say, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I say, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." That the first thing out of his mouth are excuses. "Oh, I can't do this. I'm too young. I can't speak well. I know this call that you placed in my life, but I am completely inadequate to be able to accomplish what you want me to do." You see, Jimmy, excuses often reveal insecurities. "I can't pastor a church. I can't stand up and be able to speak on behalf of God." But I love what he says. "But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and do whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Jimmy, when you start coming up with excuses, maybe this is more for Eileen to be able to punch you and to give you a quick kick in the butt. But when excuses start coming up, remember that those are revealing insecurities. Insecurities in your life that God wants to bring healing to. He wants to bring redemption. And he wants you to be a man that can stand up here and boldly be able to lead a church and his family and his community well. One of the things that I think keep pastors from doing the things that God has called them to do is fear. Fear is so subtle, but it cripples us. Our insecurities and fear oftentimes keep us ineffective from being that voice in that the world so desperately needs. The same promise that he gave Jeremiah is the same promise that he gave almost every leader throughout time. And the promise is real simple. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. There is nothing, Jimmy, that you cannot do. If God tells you to do it, and then gives you everything that you need to do it, and then accompanies you, is with you, to be able to do what he asked you to do, and to use the things that he gave you to do, there is nothing that can stop you. Don't try to do it on your own. Listen to God. Steward well what he has given you. And then I love this passage here, how it ends in these last two verses. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, and to destroy, and overthrow, to build, and to plant. You see, it is God who puts the words in your mouth. As you enter into this new season of ministry, my encouragement to you is this. Whatever God gives you, speak it and proclaim it boldly and with confidence and with the authority, because he's called you and set you apart to do this. He's revealed your insecurities, and he says that I'm going to be with you, so there's nothing that you have to fear. And whatever you give, if it's from God, give it clearly, give it boldly, and give it with authority. But if it's not from God, make sure people know that. Jimmy, you are a wise man, and your words are often full of wisdom. But God's words have power. They have power to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Be faithful to what God gives you. Speak the word of God boldly. But Jimmy, if you are going to deliver the word of God, the powerful words of God that will change the world, that will change lives, that will change you and your family, you have to be close to God. In the midst of all of the busyness of your life, family, of ministry, there is nothing more important than for a pastor, especially a pastor with a prophetic calling, to stay an arm's length away from God. Cultivate that closeness with him. There's no greater gift to give to your family and to your church and to this community than being so close to God that he can reach out his arm and touch your mouth and give you the words to say. Cultivate that closeness with him. Always be an arm length away from God. You know, preaching an ordination service is like preaching at a wedding. When you give the homily, you're speaking to the bride and to the groom, and you're giving them words of encouragement and hope. But at the end of the day, all they want to say man and wife and move on to the party and the festivities that come. And very rarely do they hear the words that the minister ever gives. But when I prepare for a wedding homily, I also have in mind those that are in the audience that are just listening, to give words of hope to their marriages that might be falling apart or hitting a rough time, or to those that are single and wondering if they're ever going to be able to find Mr. or Mrs. Wright. And so the words that I give to Jimmy this morning are also the words for us. You see, from the beginning of time, God has set each one of us apart for a divine purpose. Every one of us. For Jimmy, he's come to a place where he's understood and discerned, and others have come along and affirmed that his divine purpose in this life is to be a pastor, to be able to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and be able to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to be able to lead people effectively deeper in their relationship with Christ, to be able to stand up for injustice in the world and be able to stand up in their communities and be able to say, let's make sure we do things that are right and righteous. That's His calling. That's His divine purpose. But my challenge to all of us today is, what is the divine purpose that before time began, that He knew you by name? He knew that you would be seated here today. He knows the story of your life better than you know the narrative. And He set you apart for divine purpose. If you don't know what that is, lean into it. Ask God. He'll show you. Ask friends. Reach out. There is nothing better in life than living a life that is fulfilled and know that you're on the purpose that God has set out for you. And if you're not there, that's all right. Grab someone. Work through that with them. Be able to process with them. Second, don't let insecurities and fears silence your voice. I'll tell you why. We live in a world that desperately needs good news, that needs people to be able to stand up for what is right and for what is righteous. I don't know where you work or where you go to school or the community that you live in, but I do know that there's hurt and there's pain. There's a lot of things that aren't right in the world that you live in. But oftentimes, because of fear and insecurities, we remain silent and our voice is squelched in the midst of all of the other noise that's out there in this Facebook world. Don't let fear and insecurity stop. Rise up. Understand what your divine purpose is and then lead into it. And finally, just as I challenged Jimmy to cultivate that closeness with God, do the same. There's nothing better in life than to know that you're only arm's length away from the one that created you and created this universe. One of the greatest verses that God has given to my family over the last year is just a simple passage in James chapter 5, and it's just a few words. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. If you don't even know where to start, take that step. Just ask God, I want to draw near to you, and take that step towards Him. Jimmy, I am honored and thrilled, not only as someone from the district, but as someone who's walked this path with you. And I just want to say today, well done. Well done. But don't let this be the end of a chapter without opening a new chapter. I recognize and we recognize the prophetic calling that God has placed in your life. He set that apart from the beginning of time. He loves you. He knows your name and He's given you a divine purpose. Don't let fear and insecurity stop you, because when God does something in your life, He tells you what to do, gives you the resources to do it, and then He gives you the great promises, I'm going to be with you as you do it. But above all, keep cultivating that closeness to God. Never be more than an arm's length from Him. And as He gives you those words, speak them with confidence and boldness and authority. This time I'd like to ask the elders and their wives to be able to come up at this point, and Jimmy and Eileen to be able to come up here as well. And I'd like to be able to lay hands on you and to be able to celebrate what God's done in your life and to be able to ordain you as a minister of the gospel. So if you're an elder, elder's wife, please make your way up to the front now. And Jimmy, I have a few words that I would like to be able to share with you. And as I share these, I just ask that you affirm these as well. Jimmy, are you persuaded that you are truly called to this ministry according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you persuaded that the Holy Scriptures contain all truth required for eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Are you determined out of the same Holy Scriptures to instruct the people committed to your charge so that they may enter into the fullness of life? Do you accept the doctrine and the government and the fellowship of the Christian Missionary Alliance? And do you purpose to fulfill, faithfully minister towards the worldwide diffusion of the gospel? Do you purpose to preach its fullness, to promote a deeper and higher Christian life, and to work towards the evangelization both at home and abroad, thereby hastening unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you purpose to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of your personal and private devotions, to live a life of purity and daily dependence on Christ, so that you may minister to others what you have first experienced in the Holy Spirit of God? Do you declare as your life's purpose to teach and preach the Christian gospel, to exalt righteousness, to rebuke evil, and to lift up the fallen, to help the poor, to minister to the sick, to comfort those in trouble, to guide and inspire a youth, and in all ways serve your fellow man in the spirit of the Master? And then Jimmy, the ordaining council of the Metropolitan District representing the fellowship of the Christian Missionary Alliance does now ordain you and set you apart for the work of Christian ministry. We pledge to you our love, our prayers, and our constant cooperation, that working together we may, in all his fullness, make the Lord Jesus Christ known. At this point, I would like maybe you come out in the middle here, and for the elders to gather around, and several of you pray. I'm going to close in prayer, but before I do, I'm going to ask Frank if you would, after a couple of the elders pray, if you would pray for your son. Very rarely do we have an elder who has the privilege of being able to pray for a son.
Lord God, what a special day here as we're gathered to celebrate Jimmy and what you created him to do, Lord. I thank you for that divine purpose that Doug talked about today, how you you knew what he was going to do a long, long time ago. And for today, Lord, I pray three things for Jimmy. I pray for boldness, for patience, and for wisdom. For boldness to speak your name, Lord, to tell others about you. For patience to... Just patience, Lord. Give him patience. We all know what that is. And for wisdom, to know what to say it, when to be quiet. And this is also my prayer for our church, Lord. May we as a congregation be bold, be patient, and be wise. And Lord, I picked Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Father, I thank that through your love and your grace, you call each of us into a relationship with you, to personally know you. And I thank you that your call goes more than that for Jimmy, that you call him into a life of ministry, and I thank you that he's answered that call, and he's a man of integrity, that he's willing to stand before you and before others and proclaim your gospel. Lord, I ask that through his ministry, that your spirit will pour out onto him, that you'll continually fill his cup, that when it starts to run dry, there'll be others around him to help refill that cup, Lord. And I thank you that you've provided one of those people as a helper, and his wife Eileen. I ask that you continually fill her cup, Lord, that as ministry drains, she'll be able to pour into Jimmy, and that you'll pour into her, that you'll give her the strength and the wisdom to continue on. God, I ask that you'll continually provide the people around him to support and love him, that, Lord, as a church, that we can help support that burden. When the burden of ministry comes, there'll be people around him that hold that burden, that it'll never be too much. And God, I ask that his ministry will be fruitful, Lord, that you will bless his service to you, and that one day when he stands before you and you say, well done, good and faithful servant, there will be a multitude of people that will rejoice with that because their lives have been changed through his ministry and through his service to you, Lord.
Lord, We just pray for Jimmy, Eileen, the kids. And we just thank you so much for his faithfulness, his willingness to put himself out there, Lord. And Lord, we just, as a church, come together and pray that we can be a support to him and to their family. Lord, as he pours into us, that we could just pour into him. And Lord, we just thank you so much for just your perfect timing. This is just perfect, Lord. Amen.
Lord Jesus, what a privilege to stand before you today with my son. I thank you so much, Lord, for separating him apart. And Lord, I know that you are God, because I know Jimmy. And if it wasn't for you intersecting his life, Lord, he would not be the man that he is today. And so, Father, I just ask for a double portion of your blessing upon him. I pray, Lord, as Elisha prayed for himself, I pray for my son. And I ask you, Lord, to give him a double portion of your anointing. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would fill him to overflowing, and that overflowing would affect everyone that comes into contact with him. I pray, Lord God, that he would indeed seek your face daily. I pray, Lord God, that he would trust you in all circumstances. I pray, Lord God, that you would be glorified through his life and his family's life and this church's life. Lord, thank you to give me the privilege to pray for my son. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Do I get to preach now?
Is that it?
Yep. Yeah. Man, I wish I took that 30-second $40 route. It would have been way easier. You know, Doug, it's funny that you picked the passage out of Jeremiah for this morning, because, you know, for you as a church, it's not something I share often because it's quite personal. But when I was about 20 years old, I was sitting on the benches in Sacramento, California. And if you're from Sacramento, I'm sorry, because there's not really a lot going on in that city. But I sat there at a conference, and I was asking God, is this really all that there is? It was a conference where everyone was trying to get you to buy something and to do something else. And I just thought, if this is what faith and ministry is all about, I don't want to do it. And I sat there and I was journaling and I was praying. And right after the passage that Doug read, there's the sum up of that passage in verses 17 to 19. And this is exactly, I have the journal and I reread it last night in my bed at like 1:30 in the morning because I couldn't sleep. And I was reminded of this, where God told me, he said, get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Which spoke a ton to my fear, because I'm scared of saying things that are going to disrupt people's lives. I don't like doing that. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And so, you know, through this process, I do want to just say thank you. Thank you. You know, my family has been so faithful, and my wife, to give me the space and time to study and to write papers and to not bug me, and my kids to not constantly berate me with, I want to watch more Jesse. But it's been, I'm super thankful for them. And honestly, for us as a church, the freedom that you've given me to go after this has been amazing. You're unlike any other congregation I've been part of, and I'm so thankful for that. And to kind of close, there's an author I love to read, who his name is A.W. Tozer. And if you've never read any of his stuff, Get your hands on whatever you can. Do you ever have that author that you read and you think, I think exactly like this? Like, they can put to words what I'm feeling. A.W. Tozer is that guy for me. And on his ordination service, he just simply prayed this prayer. And this is the prayer I want to close with as our worship team comes up, and we'll close with a song. It just says this. Lord Jesus, I come to Thee for spiritual preparation. Lay Your hand upon me. Anoint me with the oil of the New Testament prophet, and forbid that I should become a religious scribe and thus lose my prophetic calling. Save me from the curse that lies dark across the faith, the face of modern clergy, the curse of compromise, of imitation, of professionalism. Save me from the error of judging a church by its size, its popularity, or the amount of yearly offering. Help me remember that I am a prophet, not a promoter, not a religious manager, but a prophet. Let me never become a slave to crowds. Heal my soul from the bondage of things. Let me not waste my days puttering around the house. Lay Your terror upon me, O God, and drive me to a place of prayer where I may wrestle with the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Deliver me from overeating and late sleeping, and teach me self-discipline that I may be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.